Welcome to that 80s show where we had, I wouldn't say we had less telemarketers in the 80s. They were just better behaved.
Definitely better behaved, and we didn't mind them as much because it was like a novelty.
A treat.
Huh.
Get this little phone call, 7 o'clock after dinner, after the news. Connect met your oudersplaat.
Who's calling?
Who's so calling?
Because you don't know.
Yeah, fuck, someone died. Oh, first thought.
Maybe.
Someone's died.
Maybe.
No, someone is just trying to sell us encyclopedias.
Right.
You know?
And we wanted encyclopedias.
We would hear them out. We're like, okay, tell me.
I never had my own encyclopedias. Can I tell you what a pain that was? We'd have to go to the library when I had school projects.
Jeez, we had the World Book Series.
Oh, you're very privileged, huh?
With the gold edged pages.
Nice.
Actually bought it. Do you want to hear a funny story? Bought it from one of the teachers at my school, whose son is now the principal of the school. Because my daughter goes to the same school that I went to.
Right.
And now her son, who I was friends with in school.
Yeah.
Because he had the World Book Encyclopedias at home. He had access to all of them.
Huh.
With the entire thing. Gold edged. So you had to go to the library.
I had to go to the library to do all my projects because we didn't have encyclopedias.
The other day.
At home.
There's one library that I still can find. I assume it's a public library. I don't know. It's in Heathway Shopping Centre, just off Bears Nordea, right?
Right.
It's kind of like the Cresta's poor cousin shopping mall.
Okay.
You know, every mall you have has got the poor cousin mall?
Yes.
It used to be Northcliffe Corner, now it's Heathway. And there's a little library in there. And I went inside with my daughter to say, we were looking for directions to another store. I couldn't find the other store.
They must have been so excited when they saw you walk in.
Oh, there were people in. There were lots of school kids. There's a high school across the road. So I assume a lot of kids come do homework there and whatnot.
Okay.
And my daughter's like, this
what
place.
What is this place?
She's like, it smells funny. I said, it smells like a library.
Yeah. That's old books on old books. And tears.
You know
probably.
What? The sad thing is I don't think many people use that library enough for them to sweat and cry over the books. Libraries, that was fun. That was a treat. Because I had World Books, so I didn't have to go to the library.
You didn't have to go.
I used to take it like doing research.
Yeah.
I should actually go find them in my parents' house and like find out what it had. It wouldn't specifically talk about the 80s because it was all the 80s.
Yes.
It was like that's all the information it had.
But I wonder how much they'd be worth now.
They're worth surprisingly little. Don't you remember a few years ago, somebody we knew, you'll remember this, was posting on WhatsApp trying to sell them. And it was like, what's it worth? The information's old. It's a novelty thing. It wasn't real gold. It wasn't real gold on the edge of the pages. Like, if it was.
What a disappointment.
Maybe melt it down. Make yourself like a tooth. But it wasn't. So, no, they just take up a lot of space.
I'd be curious to look up things like homosexuality.
Oh.
And see what it had to say.
Yes, please refer to Bible.
This is not a real thing.
Yes. So many things that didn't exist in the 1980s. I mean, homosexuality existed, but how would they cover it? You know who existed in the 80s?
Kirk.
Not a Kirk, but a Corey.
Oh.
So, you know, we're Team Corey on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, has it started?
Corey Feldman, one of our favorite Sea Dog. He's on Dancing with the Stars. Did his first dance this past weekend.
How was it?
Bad start, Dory.
Oh, no.
Bad, bad start. So firstly, there were a few rumors last week of him missing training, missing his rehearsals. Oh, the social medias were trying to make a buzz. You see, the thing is with these reality shows.
Yeah.
They got to try to create some controversy.
Yeah.
So his dance partner, because you pair up a star with a dancer, and she was posting, geez, Corey hasn't been to rehearsals like for 2 days now. Where's Corey?
Has he slipped back into bad habits?
No, it's all fine. It was all just part of the ruse. I mean, everyone knew where he was. He always had permission to. It's fine. It's just a lot of bullshit. You know, they just got anticipation.
Wasn't at home snarfing the encyclopedia.
No. And so he dances this week. Weekend season 34 premiere. Him and his partner, Jenna Johnson. They performed the tango to a Billy Joel song. Still rock and roll to me. Right?
Interesting.
I kind of like, I should have checked more if that song appeared in any of his movies.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway,
doesn't matter.
Anyway, from what I saw, he looked pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. Corey Feldman,
he can know dance. He has moves. Yeah, he has moves.
He can dance, right?
But the tango's a bit tricky.
Oh, he did it.
Uh-huh.
And one of the judges, Derek Ho. I think it's Derek Ho. Him and his sister are very much involved. I think it's Derek and a Jennifer. They're very much involved in dancing. They're super involved. They're okay. Super smiley and they're super blonde and they're super beautiful and they're super fucking lithe and they're super annoying. But right. Anyway, they're very involved in the show. He praised Corey. Said, hey, great. Liked your dips, your twists, your spins. Loved it.
Okay. I'm going to look for clips.
Oh, don't. The good part, right? Yeah. Corey then goes, you know, this has been real difficult for me because I've had a lifelong battle with scoliosis. Now, I mean,
okay,
quite a high number of people have scoliosis, okay. And it's quite, listen, it's serious. Like it's you can have like ranging from very light to quite severe. But he, of course, Corey Feldman had scoliosis, mm-hmm. Of course. Part of me goes, did he confuse it with halitosis? But I'm not a doctor, and you know,
yeah,
I'm just here reporting the facts.
But we have to ask his dance partner if he has halitosis.
But despite him being praised, right, one judge gave him a score of 5.
Out of 10?
Other judge gave him a score of 4.
Ooh.
So he's got 9. 9 out of 20 off his first round.
That's not good.
The audience actually booed the judges.
Okay.
They debuted him. It's like, what the fuck? He did well.
So he's a crowd favorite.
Of course, Story. He's Corey Seadog.
Who else? I can't remember the other celebs that are on it.
All there are others. Topanga's on it. Steve Irwin's son's on it. Remember we hate Zac Efron's brother. We're anti Zac Efron's brother. Yeah, yeah. Right? Fuck
okay.
him.
No, right, Seadog's right. definitely the choice.
Seadog is definitely us. So the judges' score is very low, but it's now up to the public. The public makes up the rest of the vote.
Ah.
So the public now has this week to vote
okay.
to keep Seadog in.
Can I vote?
We can't. It's only open to America.
Oh.
And I mean, could this be over before it even began for Seadog?
Damn.
You know?
Well, at least he tried.
No, he's doing well, Dory. I'll post that clip up, that 80 Show essay on Facebook.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch it.
I'll pop it up. He does, from me, what I know. You can see he can dance.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He's not a Efron. Efron never done for us. I didn't watch the Efron one because Zac Efron can dance.
Yeah.
He dances really well.
So what makes you think his brother doesn't?
I assume that there were, you know, because if you got two brothers, parents are pushing both. And it's a 50-50. So the opportunity Zac got... Dennis Efron, I don't know what his name is. Okay, Jack Efron. They were given the same opportunity.
Jack and Zach? No, can't be.
Sorry. If you want facts.
I'm at the wrong show.
Look for another podcast.
Right.
All right. We just know we hate him.
Okay.
And anyway, listen, if you're in America, I know we got some American listeners, you got to vote. You got to get on that
Seadog. Vote for Seadog, man.
You got to get him on because we feel he is hard done by. We're sitting here, you know, South Africa, we couldn't vote for a long time. I feel we're back. I feel we're pariahs of the world again. We cannot vote. Or our votes are meaningless again. You know, so vote, do the right thing, keep Seadog in. Because once Seadog's out, so there'll be the week that he goes out and then there's no content for us. And this week, light week on 80s content. Very, very light week. So we got to keep him in for at least a month. Do us a favor. Think of us.
Okay.
Think of that 80s show.
You know, we can always just reminisce.
No.
I know you like to find actual content for the
show. Yes. You know, can't reminisce when you can't remember shit. A good friend of ours, Morrissey, he's back. Now,
I like the way you say good friend of ours.
We're going to make fun of him.
As we must.
But his reasoning is not misplaced, especially in light of recent events, which I'm not going to mention because I don't understand it and I really don't think it's got any relevance to us.
Okay. No SEO, hey?
However, Morrissey, 2 weeks ago, he was selling the Smiths. We emailed, tried to buy a bit of it, still getting no response from that email.
Right.
eves@gmail.com to buy the Smiths. Very legit.
Maybe because they realize that you're not legit.
How do they know that? Because I sent it from a Gmail, the Gmail that I've had since I was 16 years old with a rude name. You think maybe that nixed me. Because we've all got that email. We've all got that first email account we created. I'm lucky it was on Gmail. Some people got a Yahoo. Some people got a Hotmail.
Yeah.
Some people got a Yebonet.
Mine was... Yahoo was my first. I skipped Hotmail.
Do you still have your Yahoo?
Definitely not.
There's still Yahoo. I still
definitely
see sometimes.
Don't still have it. Don't remember shutting it down though. So maybe it's still there.
I have a Yebo Net.
Ah. Oh.
Who's got, I mean, where's that from?
I think I might have an iAfrica.
Oh, that was also an old one. But we've all got that first email address we created. Mine was the first one I created on Gmail. And part of it involves a rude joke. And now I've got, because everything in my life's now linked to it.
No,
you know what I mean? And you know that email, you're going to change jobs, you're going to do different stuff.
You know you can change it.
No, but everyone's got it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's linked to so much.
So maybe Morrissey's people were like, does not look legit.
It's the email he made as well. So anyway, Morrissey and Eves, myself and Eves, we're in the same situation.
Yeah.
Joke emails from our teens. Anyway, if we do get hold of it, crowdfund, we're going to buy some of the Smiths. So I did tell you at the time he's touring the US, but he's canceled two of his shows in Connecticut and Massachusetts, fun word to say, citing a credible threat on his life.
Mm.
Now, again, in the light of events, this is not something to joke about. In the light of Morrissey, it is.
Right.
So he was set for concerts at the Foxwoods Resort Casino in Mashantucket, Connecticut. Mashantucket. I've heard of Nantucket.
That's a real place?
Mashantucket. Says here. And the MGM Music Hall at Fenway in Boston. And his cancellation statement mentioned doing this out of abundance of caution for the safety of both him and his audience. So he's received death threats. He thinks they're credible. Now, earlier in the week, a 26-year-old man from Canada was released on bail after allegedly threatening to kill Morrissey via a post on social media. Now, it's not said that these are linked, but this man's now out. This man's made threats before him. He's been in jail. I mean, the threats were serious enough. He got arrested.
Yeah.
Morrissey did do a show in Canada. So the man arrested was in Canada. So Morrissey did do his Canada show, but they said, I'm just canceling the other two. He's got a few more dates in the US and then he's off to Mexico.
So I haven't actually been following anything Morrissey's been saying. Should I just assume that I know what he's been saying? I know we don't want to get into it.
Morrissey,
but like, why is he getting death threats?
Morrissey says a lot of shit. It doesn't really say anything here. I mean, where do you start with Morrissey? He's said so much over the years to piss people off.
So here's the thing, right? I told you I've been listening to the Smiths in the car lately. If you actually listen to Smith's lyrics, why are we surprised that he's a douche? His lyrics have always been very douchey. He's always been really mean. Like, it's not a huge shock, right?
I think it's just easier to make threats against people now. So, you see, this is the thing. It's not a shock, and I don't think this is his first death threat.
No, I doubt it.
But I just think, just right now, especially in the States, you're not taking a chance. And if you're Morrissey, hey, if I can get on a bandwagon, if I can put myself back in the spotlight, I'm going to take it. Now, I mean, dare I say, I'm not saying Morrissey's as cynical and as uncaring and heartless as that.
But it's very possible.
But I'm also, once again, I'm saying, where is Robert Smith right now? That's what I'm saying. So, Morrissey, I don't know. A lot of news around him lately.
Too much, maybe.
Too much. So
let's stop.
On
let's
that 80 show, yes, we will stop. No, I will find. It'll carry on because once he's posting on his little blog again, because I don't even know where he put that because, he's got that terrible blog. He doesn't use social media.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So where's he getting the death threat? So it's all, anyway, what on. That 80 show, we like to cover movies. And Dari, did you ever watch Police Academy and go, I think Police Academy is a little bit too highbrow for me?
Oh, dear. I see what we're in for. I see it.
You know? I mean, can you off the top of your mind remember anything from Police Academy? I mean,
nothing specific. I just remember the characters largely, but not specific storylines or plot. When they went into the gay club, of course, I remember that.
The Blue Oyster. But of course, kind of like a very 80s depiction of homosexuality.
Yes.
Very funny scene. I mean,
yes,
really funny.
Very funny.
But, of course, there was plays on Asian stereotypes.
Yes.
There was play on lots of black characters, but all as, you know, played on stereotypes and tropes. Woman with big boobs was normally the butt of jokes and the front of jokes. A bit of Kim Cattrall. Any chance to put her in a towel, in a shower.
My favorite was Bobcat Goldthwait.
But despite those kind of depictions, because again, we go, it was the 80s, a different time. We're not going to get into that. But you wouldn't say, I mean, there was like fun stuff, but like I say, I love Police Academy, but I think it's just a bit too intellectual for me.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That man who's making fart noises.
Yeah.
I need something, I don't know.
Lighter.
I need lighter. I don't want to think about my comedy. Mm. You know?
Yes.
I don't want to think. I found a movie, Dory.
Of course you did.
That when I read this line, I was like, well, how can I not watch this? And how can I not bring it to you and you, dear listener? When I say it was described that if Police Academy was Playboy, this movie was Hustler. Now, friends of mine, people I've heard from some research I did, not like I'd know out of firsthand.
Right.
Would say Playboy was the more intellectual.
Yes.
At least they pretended.
Classy.
They had articles.
Yes.
They bush, no curtains.
There was a bow tie on the bunny. It was classy.
It was classy. Hustler, butcher shop.
Hustler was gynecological.
Yeah. I mean, we were looking in there. Yeah. We saw things, right? Different colors of things you didn't even know. So are you. World Book Encyclopedia is not going to that level. They're at least animating. This is like shit. That's kind of like, remember in class we had that human, like that transparency of the human. Right. And then you like flicked it and it started as flesh. Then you take the flesh, then it's his nervous system. Until it's just a skeleton, right? Mm. So then it's just dust. Catholic school, ash dash, dust to dust. So then he's just dust.
But if you're at Catholic school, did they even show you things?
Well, this is why friends of mine who went to Catholic school and saw The Hustler were like, what are we looking at here? So this is the level we're at. So the movie I'm going to talk to you about today is a police-based movie, very similar to Police Academy, called Night Patrol.
Never heard of it.
No.
I wouldn't have, hey?
Again, like every movie that I've done, cult classic.
On the fringes.
Found a life in VHS. I don't even know if it was ever actually released in cinemas. Even for the 80s, it was straight to video.
Hang on, this is the night version of Police Academy.
It is, but a lot happens in the day.
Okay.
So we meet a young recruit who is supposed to be the Mahoney type character. Now, just to tell you, this movie came out the same time as Police Academy. Right? The biggest coincidence in the world. Maybe somebody knew that there was a Police Academy movie being made. Let's make a police movie. But it wasn't like Police Academy is quite big. Between one and two, they decided let's make something quick. These movies were kind of being made at the same time, which is very bizarre. But like I say, people probably knew there's an idea. There's a movie going around, right? The less charismatic Steve Guttenberg Mahoney type character is bumbling cop. Not out of the academy, but he's a cop. And he gets busted down to Night Patrol, which is kind of like Night Patrol, as we know from, you know, 80s movies, traffic patrol. So being taken out of beat cop into traffic cop.
Yeah.
Night Patrol, it's kind of like down there.
Okay.
And then shenanigans ensue.
Do we know any of the cast members?
There's some cameos.
Okay.
There's two interesting cameos.
But our main star, we wouldn't know.
No idea who these people are. So from what I can understand the back of it, there is a guy. So lots of shenanigans, and I'm going to get into some of the shenanigans. Mm. It's very much like a series of skits with there's a storyline, but it's just a bunch of sketches.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
A lot of these comedies were. So the main storyline is that this cop gets busted down to Night Patrol. Then suddenly there is a guy holding up stores who goes around with a bag over his head, a brown bag over his head, and he now starts holding up stores. All is at exactly the same time that this cop either doesn't see, misses, whatever.
Okay.
So you go, well, is it him holding up the stores, right?
Yeah.
Now, that character of the baghead was a character from the 70s that was like on like low rent public access TV, kind of like pre-viral sort of stuff. He was called the Unknown Comedian. So he would go and do stand-up comedy shows with a bag over his head.
Okay.
Right? He was a bit of a thing. He became like a bit of a thing, you know? And then he had like was TV appearances and like really like low-rent radio. It's like viral stuff.
Yeah.
Late 70s, early 80s, virality. So this is kind of like a vehicle for that character, but nobody outside of like people who knew that character, like the fuck, what is this?
Yeah.
So the storyline goes that like they think that this main cop is the guy. I kind of think he is the guy in the end.
Oh, is it not clear?
I think he is the guy. It's both not clear in the story and both not clear in actually the copy I watched, because I was like, this is like a straight from VHS rip. It hasn't even been upgraded. There is a more high quality version, but finding good quality of this isn't great. But let me tell you about some of the things, Dory.
Yes.
So we have, you got to have your chief of police, who is the grumpy, you know, typical chief of police guy, except in this case, he's a little person.
Right.
And after every sentence he says, there's a fart noise, like an overlaid fart noise. Now, when you watch it, it's like sounds like a fart machine. It's not cut into what he's saying.
Yeah.
So nobody ever reacts to his farts. They don't stink. It's just a fart noise after he talks.
Okay.
So they put the fart noises in after, only in post, the actor playing him sued them. Because he said, like, this wasn't part of the joke. I'm not in on the joke. And you're making me look ridiculous, right?
Right.
Dory, don't give me that look.
I'm not looking at you in any way whatsoever.
Right? If you're a movie where your own actors who know what they're in for, who've seen the rest of this movie.
Are suing you.
Suing you.
Did he win?
It's not revealed. Not revealed what happened.
Yeah.
Some of the key scenes. Within 20 minutes, we have blackface.
Wow.
Two of the cops go undercover as pimps.
Oh, well, my goodness.
There's also a very stereotypical Mexican in the same scene.
What year was this?
1984.
Hmm.
Mm. Hmm. I think deep enough, we were getting into a really good space then.
Yeah.
If I have to tell you, this movie was so low budget. Right, so that's one of the scenes. In it, there's a running gag of this Mahoney-type cop keeps encountering a dog with diarrhea.
Okay.
In various forms of the diarrhea. And when you look at this dog, you're like, that dog has chronic diarrhea.
They didn't, like, make special effects?
No, it was definitely not real. I hope it wasn't real poop.
Mm.
It was, you could see it was fake poop. If you want to talk about real-looking poop, you got to talk about Mad Magazine's Up the Academy, or just known as Up the Academy, turd in the punch bowl.
Yeah.
Right. No, so you could see it's fake poop. So he keeps encountering a dog with diarrhea every time he's on patrol. His partner, older cop, is a total fetish, fucking fetish fiend who likes having sex with women in the weirdest places, like the backseat of a Volkswagen. No, the backseat of a police car, everywhere else.
Okay.
I'm going to leave you to fill in the blanks here, because I've got to tell you something about this movie. As much as you watch it, you go, this movie is so wrong. So wrong.
Mm.
I mean, there's two homosexual cops. And as much as I spoke 2 weeks ago, Knight Riders, where they have a very mature and totally non-80s depiction of a gay relationship.
Yes.
This is the total 80s depiction of a gay relationship, that the two cops go undercover in the park.
Yeah.
And they wear dresses and they love wearing dresses. And it's just okay.
Terrible.
That thing. Funny in the 80s, we didn't know better. I'm kind of go, was it great or was I eight? I don't know better. You know. So there are scenes where you laugh and you go, fuck, I really shouldn't be laughing at this, but it is funny. His partner's busy talking to him about this woman he had sex with last night. Very degrading herself, played by Linda Blair.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
Yes. So she's one of the people you may know.
Right.
He said, how did it go last night? She says, well, I fucked her brains out. And then she comes walking past in the manner of somebody with no brains.
Okay.
I'm
trying to picture it, but at the same time, I'm trying not to picture it.
I'm going to post some clips over that 80 show.
Okay.
You'll watch this, you'll go, like, you'll put your hand over your mouth and go, like it's not politically correct.
But you laugh.
You're going to laugh. You're going to laugh because she's...
It sounds kind of Naked Gun-ish.
It was done before Naked Gun. It is. It's Naked Gun without the cleverness.
Yeah.
It's Police Academy without the charm. It's like this exact sweet spot of all the things that they went, we're not going to put that in Naked Gun or Police Academy.
Yeah.
This movie went, it's going in.
Yeah.
It's in.
Right.
The Mahoney type guy breaks up a cockfighting ring. Now, based on what I've told you, what sort of cockfighting ring do you think that is, Dory?
Oh, Lord. Not the animal type.
He walks down an alleyway during the day.
Yeah.
He does very few night patrols. He does less night patrols after he's bussed down to night patrol. Anyway.
Yeah.
I assume budget.
Because lighting, man.
It's more expensive to shoot at night. So he walks down the alleyway and there's all these like crudely signs, cockfighting, cockfighting, cockfighting. And he sees a circle of people cheering, no, I got to break it up. And then he catches through the people and the nuns who are there betting on it.
Right.
You see two men and they strip down from the waist down and they are.
Yeah.
As I'm
jousting.
Jousting. Thank you, Dory. That's a good word.
Yes.
So, yes, cockfighting.
Ugh.
Okay.
I was going to say low-hanging fruit, but I think we've had enough jokes.
It's, you know what? That's too clever for it. That's too clever for this movie.
Okay.
Okay, now I'm going to get into Andrew Dice Clay pops up in this.
Okay. Yeah,
he's just known as Andrew Clay. No Dice yet. He's playing a comedian trying to get an agent.
Okay.
Which, considering he wasn't that famous yet, could have been reflecting or really method. That's what I want to say.
Yeah.
Okay, let me frame how I'm going to say this. So we then come across a man who really should have known better because he was nominated. I think he won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor the same year of this movie. Mr. Miyagi himself, Pat Morita. He pops up in this movie. Now, Karate Kid was already out.
Right.
Everybody loved Karate Kid. Everyone loved Mr. Miyagi. He would win an Oscar for being Mr. Miyagi.
Yes.
This was his movie between Karate Kid 1 and 2, Oscar. He shows up as a victim. Now, this is, again, in the context of this movie. He's a victim of sexual assault and he comes to the police. He's been assaulted. Have you ever heard Pat Morita's talking voice?
You mean like his regular voice? Don't think so.
Because he's so Mr. Miyagi, we think he sounds like Mr. Miyagi.
But he's really got an American accent,
right? From Detroit.
Yeah. I think I have seen him.
He sounds nothing like you'd expect.
Yeah.
In this movie, for whatever fucking bizarre reason, he speaks with a little girl's voice.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And that's the gag. They never resolve who assaulted him. They never resolve how he was assaulted. It's just this gag that somebody must get. And you're going, fucking Mr. Miyagi, why would you do that? Anyway, kind of like...
lots of questions from this movie.
It prompted me to kind of go, how does Pat Morita sound in real life? Of course, it won a Razzie. Linda Blair, she won a Razzie for Worst Actress in 1985.
Okay.
It was nominated...
was she in it that much?
For loads of Razzies. You know what? She was Linda Blair. So it's kind of like, why are you in this?
Yeah.
You can
be in
here for one scene. Razzie.
Yeah.
Okay. And yes, that is Night Patrol. I will post up the scenes that I can find on that 80 Show Essay on Facebook. And the entire movie is on YouTube. There's some great scenes that are filmed in a cinema in black and white. It's the most bizarre thing. But yes, for those of you who just...
find Police Academy intellectual.
You know, this is like, we really don't need to get into the bureaucracy of the police department in the 1980s, the transcontinental Cold War propaganda of Police Academy in Russia. The dichotomy and the argument of like community policing through citizens on patrol.
The subtext.
The subtext of, you know, and yes. You just want to have a police-related romp that's not night court, because again, too much legalities, too much law.
Yes.
Night patrol. I got to admit, the cockfighting scene made me I knew it was coming, but I fucking
loved it. It was still
funny. I fucking loved it. Teen Wolf 2. Teen Wolf catching some strays twice this week. I was listening to a podcast about Back to the Future, a lot of Back to the Future stuff, and they play a clip about from Michael J. Fox talking, because you know the whole story was he originally was in Marty McFly, and then he was shooting Family Ties. Yes, Family Ties. Let's get them confused. He was shooting Family Ties, and then he saw Crispin Glover on the set. Yeah. Or saw him and he said, what are you doing? He says, no, I'm Back to the Future, whatever. And Michael J. Fox is going, for fuck's sakes, you're working with Steven Spielberg. I'm doing Teen Wolf. Okay, so Teen Wolf catching strays.
Yeah.
Teen Wolf 2 with Jason Bateman catches strays from Jason Bateman himself this week. Jason Bateman on a podcast this week promoting his new TV show. I think it's called Black Rabbit.
Yes, I'm almost finished it.
Okay, cool. I assume that was your movie, because you're going to, nope. Okay, right. So
no 80s relation, so I can't. Right. I'd love to.
Well, it's Jason Bateman. If only Jude Law was more 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Honestly.
If only it was Jason Bateman and L.A. Law, then sweet spot.
Mm.
So Jason Bateman goes on this podcast and he really wants to shoot, take shots at Teen Wolf 2, but the story comes out in a different way of how it's Quentin Tarantino's favorite movie.
It is?
On his first meeting with Quentin Tarantino, Quentin Tarantino loses his shit to tell him, Teen Wolf 2, one of my top 10 movies. It was a great movie. I loved it so much. Okay. And they ended up having a crazy night together because Quentin Tarantino loves Teen Wolf 2 so much. And you know, I love Teen Wolf 2. I love it. So I can totally relate to that.
You love Teen Wolf 2 too?
I love both Teen Wolves.
I don't remember Teen Wolf 2 very much. I have to say, I need to rewatch it.
It's on Plex if you want.
Oh, excellent.
It is also on Amazon. So okay.
I'll give it a go then.
Listen.
I think I need to watch both.
Just remember, Jason Bateman's in a wolf costume most of the time.
I know.
And his wolf costume is cheaper than the one Michael J. Fox had. Other things in this podcast, he talks about how he actually wasn't the 80s pinup that people think he was, that he's kind of, he says,
no, he wasn't.
He says, I keep getting referred to as an 80s pinup. He says, no. I wasn't. He says, if I was on Tiger Beat, I was in the bottom corner of the cover. Like, I wasn't that guy.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah. And he says, you remember?
He was very ordinary looking.
Yeah. And he says, no.
He looks much better now.
Much better now. I did set myself a task at the beginning of the year that 40th anniversary of the best martial arts movie of the 80s. The best. I don't even want to hear it. I know, and I go, the best of the
American
best.
American Ninja?
Karate Kid, American Ninja, all of those. Anything with Chuck Norris, Delta Force, whatever you want, the best martial arts movie of the 1980s was The Last Dragon.
Oh, right. Of course.
It was.
Yes.
It was.
For sure.
I don't want to, I get there were so many others. And I don't denigrate any of the others. Kickboxer. Loved all of them. Right? But The Last Dragon.
Yes.
Bruce Leroy. So I set myself a task this year, 40th anniversary, can I get hold of Timac? He must have looked at my email address, my rude email address, and go, I'm not responding to you. I sent it from one of my more serious ones. That I do want to, Andy, no response.
Maybe he's just nah.
I suspect he's a guy who wants to be paid for an interview.
Mm.
I don't want to speculate. I suspect he could be a pay-for-play guy. Okay. So anyway.
Is there anyone else we could get?
Nothing. No, because everyone else involved in it is dead.
That's not true.
Yes, everyone's dead. Everyone's dead. Because, Dory, I'm going to finish off this week's show with 380s Truths and a Lie, The Last Dragon Edition.
Who's the master?
Shauna!
Who's the master?
Okay.
Okay.
How's that for a theme?
That's something.
That makes up for not having Timac.
Okay.
And I've got to be honest with you, I've watched quite a few interviews with him. I think this will be more entertaining.
All right.
As a special edition, this is 380s Truths and a Lie. Of course, the lead actress was Vanity.
Right.
Remember her? Big hair?
Yes.
Oh, it's 80s. Everyone had big hair?
Yeah. Doesn't narrow it down, but so I do remember her.
She was the female lead, the love interest, played by Vanity, who Prince had taken under her wing. Under his dove. I was trying to make the doves fly thing.
Oh, okay.
I just couldn't do it a velvety wing, but I was trying to do the doves fly thing.
Yeah.
He took her under the wing, under her wing, and formed the band Vanity Six. Remember you used to have a band?
Yes.
After being rejected by Susanna Hoffs.
Mm.
Okay, that is statement number one. Dory is looking for the lie.
Right.
Statement number two. Shonuff, the Shogun of Harlem. Remember him?
Yes.
Famous for wearing Converse. Famous for saying, "Kiss my Converse." The Monday morning after this movie came out originally, Converse's share price doubled after kids were going around saying, "Kiss my Converse." Shut up the Converse share prices of the 80s, stocks, bonds, cocaine. Greed is good.
That sounds very legit.
Statement number three, the entire film was shot in 44 days.
That sounds legit.
And statement number four, Julius John Carey III, who plays Shonuff, again, dead as well. As I'm telling you, because I would have got Shonuff. If I got Shonuff, I'm not getting time
out. That's what I'm thinking, right?
That's what I'm saying, right? But he passed away, pancreatic cancer in 2008.
Oh.
He had never quite reached the heights again, and he had guest roles in Murphy Brown and Family Matters to wrap up kind of like an undistinguished career other than Shonuff. So those are four facts. Three are true, one is a lie. I'll repeat them for you. After being rejected by Susanna Hoffs, Prince took Vanity under his wing. Shonuff's catchphrase, "Kiss my Converse," caused Converse share price to double. The entire film was shot in 44 days. And Julius John Carey III, who played Shonuff, had guest starring roles in Murphy Brown and Family Matters, two very 80s shows. He had some others, but those are the 80s ones. Dory, through process of elimination.
They all sound legit, but I'm just going to say the Susanna Hoffs one is the lie.
That one is actually true, Dory.
Really?
It is true because we know Prince was obsessed with Susanna Hoffs.
I know.
He wrote, which song did he write for her? Wasn't Walk Like an Egyptian?
No.
He wrote one of the Bangles songs for her and gave it to her.
Was it Manic Monday?
Could have been. It was a wannabe. Yeah. One of them. So that is true. Do you want to have another guess? Because if you actually think about Susanna Hoffs and Vanity in the 80s, they look very similar.
Yeah.
He had a style that he liked. They look very similar.
Mm.
I'll give you another guess because there are four now. So, to remind you, Kiss My Converse, share price, 44-day shoot, Murphy Brown and Family Matters.
Okay, Murphy Brown and Family Matters.
You think that's the lie?
Yeah.
That's also true, Dory.
Yo.
The fact is there on YouTube.
Okay.
Mm. Share price, Converse, or 44 days?
44 days.
No, also true, Dory.
Oh, my goodness, I did really badly today.
Now, Converse only actually, it was remained private till the 2000s when Nike bought them.
Who would have thought?
I would have thought, actually, because it is my game. This has been That 80s Show. We eventually got through it. Dory said, don't mention the behind the scenes dramas, but there was a lot of coughing. A lot of coughing fits at various points.
Except you're the old man with all the ills.
I've maintained mine. Kept the aircon off and now we're very warm. This has been That 80s Show. Everything you heard on the show today can be found, That 80s Show essay on Facebook. I'm not going to put some of the worst parts of Night Patrol on our page. I'll link that shit out.
Okay.
I don't want that
transparent. I thought that you would especially put the worst parts on. But yes, I hear what you're saying.
You'll find them. I'll tell you where to find them. I don't want that heat on our page.
Right.
So our page is a very well curated, crafted page. We only post Pat Morita
in someone's boobs.
Nose deep in boobs once a month.
Yes.
Thanks for joining me, Dory. Goodbye.
Bye.